Any questions?
Yeah, okay. So, old-fashioned barcodes before this, people are already using in small business and things, but they can't find what it is. If you go into Tesco and buy a bun, for example, the guy actually gets out a card and goes, where's the bun? Beep on that specific thing. So it's more like a lookup. But that actually doesn't contain any data.
A 2D barcode is just a number.
It's just an index.
Yeah.
So this is actually containing the actual data itself.
Yeah.
So that could, for example, contain a very tiny image within the image.
So it generally, what they do is they store, it's not ASCII text, it's usually UTF-8 because it's designed by the Japanese, so if you want to put in Japanese characters. But you can encode any data you like in there. The question is whether the barcode reader will understand it. So if it's plain text, it will just pop up the text. If you just put in a number, most barcode readers will say, this is a number, it's probably a phone number, but you can type T-E-L apostrophe. I mean, if you scan that one in there, that should take you to my business card. But you could you can stick in a whole V card in there if you want. You can also have SMS in there as well. So you can say SMS colon a phone number question mark body equals. So just like you would do with, or you can also have mail to as well. So click on that, send an email to someone for more information.
So do you see this as sort of being the equivalent of like, or things where you do online,
absolutely.
When you're
this is a physical manifestation of an internet. Exactly right. So one of the things which I did at charity hack day a few weeks ago was to say you can scan this barcode and it would take you to PayPal to pay. But just as easily, if you go to this one here and scan it in, that can go straight to your Facebook, or it can also go straight to Twitter.
But it's going via your URL.
Via my URL, but it could go directly straight to space. You can go
in
to
in the same way that your space does it comes up from.
Exactly. Yeah. So I fully see this as anything that you want to do on the internet moved into the physical world. So.
I was just going to say, me and a friend of mine built a wiki for best practices around QR codes, which documents a lot of which we're
good stuff. I'll be very interested in taking a look at that.
Yeah, about testing in the real world, angles, transparency, colours, different types of data.
Yeah, so there are some really good rules. That one of the first is make the code physically big enough to scan.
Yeah, well, this is what we learned. There are some really good rules.
Where can you find that?
QR-practices.pvworks.com.
If you give me that, I'll
take it. There are some rules.
You need it
all. All get broken by various. And I don't mean broken by people, I mean broken by other rules. So there's lots of.
So for example, one of the things is you can put in kilobytes of data into this, and it will get bigger and bigger and bigger, and the code will get more and more complex
but
and harder to scan.
It becomes
the bigger it is, as in the more data you stuff in there, the physically more dense those pixels become. And so you can see that that's sort of one size. If I skip to the end here, this is actually a lot more compact because there are fewer characters in there.
Then start to think about shortening.
Yeah, so then when you put short URLs in, if you scan something and it just says bit.ly/blah blah blah, are you going to click on it? Or are you going to go, hang on, that looks a bit suspect. So what I've done with these ones is I've made a very short URL, which is 9 characters/, and then anything else. So hopefully it's easy enough so that if that's human readable, and you see the skip at the end, or future platforms, or McDonald's, Chelsea High Street.
So presumably, because you also rely on the data connection at that point as well, right?
Yeah.
So presumably you could actually load that with a different protocol. That loaded a particular app on your phone as well.
But then you're relying.
Apple
users scan here, Android users scan there. So we need
to scan. Right, because that works across several.
But isn't it, whatever the scanning app is on the phone decides what to do with the mail?
So you think the scanning app like the browser and what the browser
So that's why what you can't see on here is if you do go to Foursquare, right at the top it says, hey, if you're an Android user, click here to get the app, which should then load the app on your phone if you've already got it.
I was wondering, you could use browser detection and say, am I coming from an Android phone or an iPhone? and it's so say, click here to visit the Foursquare website, or if you have the Foursquare app installed, click here and then use whatever the protocol.
Exactly right, yeah. So what I'm planning on doing is using either Workflow or Device Atlas to detect what the phone is, and then exactly as you say, on this page here, what I could do is put a little box there saying, already got the app, click here, and then whatever the protocol handler is for iPhone. Yeah. And
I was going to say, I did that when I came in this morning, and I've got a single app on my phone which covers all of that.
Oh, right,
but,
yeah.
But unfortunately, it wanted me to download, you know...
The app again, yeah.
It wanted me to download the Foursquare app for BlackBerry, or Twitter app for BlackBerry, whereas I've got, you know...
You've got a third-party one, which does it, yeah.
One thing you could do, potential enhancement, is just... because it's that you can set cookies, it's just a website. So what you could do is reorganise that the moment you go and say, I'm checking at the skid, if they previously checked in using Foursquare, if you put that
right at the top, yeah. And there are the slightly nastier things that I can do as well, which I want to talk about in this question. So there's advertising here at the moment, this is AdMob, but there's also Google Ads and InMobi. And all of them will take as parameters the location of the user. Now, if someone scans in that code, I know pretty much their longitude and their latitude. I don't need to do any browser detection, I know exactly where they are. And I could post that directly to AdMob and say, can you give me an advert relevant to Brighton or Gloucester Street in Brighton? Now, mobile advertising isn't quite at that stage yet, but there is a privacy aspect here. And whether it's enough to say, well, I'll only do it to the town level or maybe the county level, it's still giving away personal information to someone, which people may or may not feel happy about. So I'm going to need to think about, can I realistically pass that information off? You know, because if you're out in public, anyone can see you and hold up an advert saying, golf sale this way. That'd be an interesting mobile use case, wouldn't it? You scan in, you go to a website, and go, by the way, you're 500 metres from the nearest golf sale. Fantastic. Did you...
Yes, I guess two questions. One technical and the other one more general. Okay, technical question is, how do you use some API service in order to detect the URL of that specific location on each service?
Not yet. What I'm doing is I go to foursquare.com, find the venue, and then I copy the unique ID for it and stick it in the database, and then I go to Google and I do the same, and I think, which is crap. For building a site with only 10 or so venues in work. So one of the things I need help in is looking at which of these sites have APIs. So when someone comes in, what I want, they come to xmonsterspot.mobi and they'll say, I'm the skip and my postcode is BT whatever. It will then go up and say, hey, we think your Foursquare venue is and your GoWallah venue is. Is all this correct? Yes, and that submits it to the database. But at the moment, no, I'm not using any of the APIs.
So. Right. The second question is more about what's the value of, besides like giving recommendations on the basis of location, what's the value of working with check-in of places?
Yeah.
What's people doing with
so
that?
So people, as far as I can tell, use check-ins for three or four purposes. The first is to let their friends know where they are. Yeah. So if you and I are friends on Foursquare and I can say, I'm at this pub, you can go, oh, Terence is at the pub, I'll go and visit him. The second is to leave reviews or tips about places. So if you've just eaten at a good restaurant or a bad restaurant, you can go to Yelp and type in, you know, this restaurant sucks. And other people, when they're checking in, can go, oh, it says this one's rubbish. Or it says, hey, the spaghetti carbonara is fantastic, try it. But also to get more information. So if I show you, for example, the Google one, it's quite interesting. There's reviews which are left there, but there's also, you can click here to phone them or to email them, find out more information about the place if it's closed. And then finally, what we see is from the other side, what the business benefit is, here on Foursquare, if you have people visiting you enough and checking in, what you can do is you can reward them. So rather than relying on your memory, you can say, actually, this person's a really loyal visitor. Let's give them 20% off. Or on the skip, if you check in at Foursquare, it says, hey, the skip will say, help yourself to 2 free skip snacks if you check in. So for businesses, it's a great way of rewarding loyalty or encouraging people to come to you. And then as a sort of social experiment, it's nice to tell your friends where you are and leave reviews about physical places. That,
yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Cool. I like it when it makes sense. Yes.
So you could use this for more stuff, like, I don't know, you use it to hide digital assets, but in the real world, or something like that.
Yeah, so there are people who do, like, scavenger hunts, and the thing at the end is a QR code. I mean, the stuff that you can stick in there is incredible. There's you can add context, but you can also put Wi-Fi passwords in there as well. Now, you need a reader which supports it, but rather than having to type into your phone a 27-character string, there you go, you've got it, yeah.
I understand you can abstract this as much as you like, but basically, that you can put data in.
Yeah.
Can you just use it as pure data, though?
Yeah.
You can put basically storage front and central image if you want to do whatever you like with it. It all depends what's supported by the thing you're looking at.
So
you can even encode images in of, which is really cool.
The things which I tend to use it for are URLs, plain text, so just say, hi, how are you? But then also vCards, so you scan it in and you've got my phone details on your phone. But also direct, a phone number is just a URL which is opened by your phone's dialer rather than the browser. So you put a phone number in there and great, you're now speaking to the ticket line or to whoever it is that you want to speak to rather than having to transcribe it like a monkey pushing buttons like that.
You could, for example, I think so. One of the things that I'm interested in is WebGL. Mm. And you could have them as textures in the game. And then someone comes up and there's a little hint, but you have to go on.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything that can link to something else, you can stick in there. So, just think of it like, I remember way back when the internet was very young and I was even younger, you know, people were saying, well, what can you do with URLs? Where can you point them? And just like you can have it pointing to an FTP site or a mail to, or now we've got Skype to, you know, all these different protocols. Anything that the phone supports, you can stick in a barcode. So, I mean, if you saw a poster like this at the front of the ship, or, you know, your favourite restaurant, do you think this design is clear enough to say what it's about, or do you think it could be made better?
So one of the things we should try and read by
hand. Yeah.
So one of the things we tried to do on the wiki, which we haven't really accomplished, was some sort of recognisable standardisation of how you convey that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Right. So what in that is recognisable across every other one, every other place that someone else might create as well? This is a phone number, this is a website.
Yeah. Right. I mean, what I've done is I've just put a URL underneath.
Right, and there's some very, very simple ways to do it. What if it's not a URL? You know, I mean,
if it's a phone number, you can put it in there, but if it's something more complicated, you need a piece of explanatory text which says, scan this in order to get your Wi-Fi password, or...
I mean, what has never happened is we've never had a body like W3C looking after this stuff.
Well, we should start one.
Which we could start, which has meant that there isn't really any kind of... you can't load someone's expectations because people don't know what to have.
Yeah.
Right. And every reader does whatever they think.
Yeah. I mean, one thing which I found was the SMS2 protocol is meant to work the same way as Mail2. So you all know Mail2 links on the internet opens up your email client with the address prefilled, maybe a subject prefilled, and maybe body prefilled. You can do that with SMS. Really, really handy. But many iPhone QR scanners don't support it for some reason. All the Android ones that I tried, scanned it in, great, I can send an SMS instantly. But for iPhone, very weirdly, they don't know. Whether people will catch up, I don't know.
Is it not iPhone or Apple being funny there? Because they don't like people playing around with this tech side generally, do they?
It may well be Steve Jobs being Steve Jobs. But
yeah, there is
no. there are some.
So you can actually get Safari then open up
the text. OptiScan on the iPhone, I don't have an iPhone, but I've had OptiScan, which is $2.99 or something, does support SMS2 and some of the other protocols, but the free ones don't. I don't know why. Sorry, you had a...
I was going to say, I've actually, now I think about it, I've seen the QR.
QR, yeah.
So I've seen QR years ago, like probably...
Battle of Pepsi.
Yeah. And the thing is, at that point, I had no idea what it was. I thought it was actually the equivalent of a barcode, like an internal thing rather than it was actually something from my benefit. If people see this stuff around, you know, how are they going to know? This is actually for you, this is not...
So this is why I wanted to make it quite front and centre. And it evidently needs some text, like scan it in with your phone.
Yeah.
I went to a very interesting presentation with Pepsi, so they're still doing it on some packs, I think. They were doing a promo with, I want to say Kelly Brook, where you scan it and you got a picture or a video and various things. One of the really interesting things they did was they printed a different QR code depending on whether it was a can of Pepsi, a 2-litre bottle of Pepsi or a 6-litre bottle of Pepsi, or whether it come from multi-pack. So what they could get some very good analytics about what people were scanning. And then once people went to the website, they could collect demographic information like where are you, what's your sex, what's your age, all that stuff. But you, because this is a URL and you can put whatever query string you like at the end, if you want to have, you know, the skip upstairs and the skip downstairs, but both go to the same place, yes, you could. And you can do all sorts of analytics on that. There's a couple of talks about analytics going on today, which will be very interesting, stuff like this.
I think the winemakers actually are perhaps taking more advantage of this time, in the sense that they can give histories about, you know, which harvesting and so on.
Exactly.
But referring to the idea whether there is data or a URL behind, how difficult would it be to implement some sort of identifier that will distinguish that before it pulls it? The identifier as in, you know, web stuff that is only machine readable. It will know that it's a fragment of language instead of an image.
So if it starts with base64 colon, then it's an image. If it starts with HTTP, it's a link. If it starts with tel colon, it's a phone number. If it starts with vcard colon, it's a vcard. So it literally, all you're recoding in there is effectively ASCII. It's just text. And then it's up to the QR scanner to determine it. So if you've got a very dumb one, it would just show the text, HTTP colon, and then nothing.
Yeah.
And a more advanced one will say, oh, hang on, this is a link, I recognize it.
Okay. It's so a kind of meta-language, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I was looking at the possibility of expanding it somehow, but that's a different matter.
It's worth mentioning, of course, as well, that we all have webcams on our laptops, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be read by phone. Like,
yep.
There are readers you can get, even flash readers for, you know, browsers, where you just literally hold it up in front of your laptop.
Yeah, so for something like this, if you had it on a postcard, for example, holding it up to your camera on your laptop, but not necessarily suggesting you pick up your laptop and try and things like that, but yeah, anything with a camera, video cameras.
Lego did a game with QR codes and augmented reality tools. Most they are is a square of some sort with a piece of black identifying content in it.
Yeah.
That could well be a QR code, that's what they did. So they had kind of top trunks. Where little Lego figures would appear where the QR code was on your laptop. And,
so one of the things I want to convey is that QR codes aren't big. I mean, like everything cool, they are very big in Japan, but they are beginning to become big in Europe and America, and you're not going to be able to move. Sorry, just come through. You're not going to be able to move soon without seeing them. And I want to get you guys excited and also say, look, if you're interested in helping with this, you know, please give me a shout, because I think it's a fairly interesting idea. Yes, question?
It's not a question, it's more like a move.
More like ooh, okay. Right.
If you're driving along the motorway and you've got kids in the car and they're before, could you create some kind of treasure hunt type story thing based on billboards that have QR codes?
Yeah.
Is there a speed limit to how far you can carry it?
No Google. Those are very far away. These are very small. It depends on your phone. So, for example, the Android ones capture continuously, and you'll notice that it sort of displays on the screen, oh, I'm trying to find it, I'm trying to find auto-focusing, and then it only takes a millisecond for it to recognize, whereas some of the iPhone ones and some of the other ones, you actually have to hold your hand still and take a photo, and it will try and de-blur. If it's big enough and your hand is steady enough, there's no practical speed limit. As long as you can capture a picture of it, then you can decode it.
Could you stretch it out in the same way that you did
with
the
button?
You can
deform it.
Yeah.
And now, depending on the handset, some handsets will recognise that it's deformed, and that I can't easily show it like that. But if it's like that,
yeah.
it will keep it. Or what you could do is, if you're printing it deliberately at an angle, then you can take into account of that, so that from the computer's point of view, you know, like if you're watching rugby and stuff like that, it looks like the advert banner is square, but it's printed like that on the ground. So yeah, if you
project it long.
Yeah, so if you print it long and angled and keystoned, then when you look at it from the right angle, it will appear perfectly square and will be fairly easy to read. So yes, in answer to that.
Where would you like to be in a year's time? I mean, with this service. What are the most important features for you to implement?
The first most important feature is to get a login system so that people can do this themselves. Because what I don't want is someone to email me saying, please can you add this, and me having to spend 10 minutes manually doing it. So something where someone can just go in and say, I am Burger King, wherever, or the skiff, type in their details, hit enter, and they end up with this, which they can either print out or get sent to them as a poster. You know, in a year's time, I'd like to be where Foursquare is now, which is they've got a few million users. You know, this is the thing, is that we're all kind of cool internet geeky people and we think Foursquare's everywhere. It's not. But I'd kind of like to be in that position where enough people have these in their shop windows that it's not weird to see one. Now, whether that's my QR code or someone else's, I'm not overly precious about it. But the fact is that this isn't tied to any one provider or any one technology. Anyone can write a QR scanner or create QR code and point them anywhere. You don't need to rely on the fact that Foursquare is only making an app for Android and the other one, the iToy. So these are completely open. And that's why I think they're great. So yeah, I'd like to be in a position where you see them everywhere. I think there's a question there first, and then we must be running out of time soon, I'm sure.
I'm going back to technology again. You said a little while ago that there was virtually no limit to the amount of data, it's just that it got denser and denser, but presumably there comes a point when it's just all black, because you've only got a finite number of pixels within the box.
The box itself will expand. What I can do, while you're asking your question, I shall whack on the Wi-Fi and hopefully show you. So hopefully you can see, am I low enough there?
Yeah.
So this is a mobile site where you can create your own QR code. So if I say, hello, this is a nice short one, that's cool, scan that in, there you go, you should be able to see that there's very little data in there, and if you want to scan that in. But let's just type in, I'll tell you what, let's go to there we go.
Couple of columns.
Control A.
Google Translate Latin translator. The programmer's put in hello world if you type in Laura.
So here we go. So here's me. What I've done is I've deliberately limited this to about 160 characters, but you can see already.
It's getting more
narrow.
It'd be interesting if you can scan that in. That's right. But you can see immediately that's just far too big to reasonably print anywhere and expect anyone to scan it. You need a good camera for that. But listen, you've all been fantastic. I think I've overrun my slot by about 5 hours. If anyone wants my business card, you'll see that they also have QR codes on them, and I look forward to hearing from you about your kind offers of help. Thank you very much indeed.